Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Happy Sunday, everyone. And for those of you who are in the northeast part of the country, I'm hoping warm sun. I tell you, we are experiencing some bitter cold here. However, we are so grateful to be alive. I want to invite you to tweet, text, and call a few friends and ask them to join us here at the table this evening, because we are going to be having an extremely vibrant conversation. And the topic for today's conversation will be how to emerge from your dark tunnel with I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. And she's hanging out with me in the virtual green room, and I'll bring her on live just after we do a few housekeeping.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, as always, you know, we promise you to just deliver the best. I always invite the guests, the best guests and experts on the show. And we always look forward to us on the show, because that's when we bring you stories that helps you to be bold and to embrace your vulnerability in life. And today's episode is going to be one of those stories. So just embrace yourself and get comfortable, you know, relax, get your beverage of choice, and just don't get anything that makes you too relaxed so you doze off, because we need you to be all in 100% and fully alert. So get some water. Put a lemon and just sip as we all are. I too am sipping on cinnamon stick water. Listen, I want to invite you to check out our new blog. It's dynamicdaphneon.wordpress.com. dynamicdaphneon.wordpress.com. And also, I encourage you to visit the link for the nonprofit organization, the Empowering People Foundation, Inc., where we are looking to raise some funds to start the breakfast feeding program for the Carmel Elementary School in Jamaica. So, listen, for every $2 we get, we are able to provide breakfast for a child. So, please, will you visit there at GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe/(1)M(3)8. So please visit us there and give us whatever you can. And please share the link too with your supporters and family members and friends. And if you have not yet done so, connect with me on LinkedIn, Daphne Clark Hudson, on Twitter, Dynamic Daphne, and on Facebook, Dynamic Daphne. And last but not least, for right at this moment, the nonprofit organization, the Empowering People Foundation, Inc., is participating in a cruise on the Norwegian Epic, June the 14th through the 22nd. It's a cruise going to Europe. Port of call is Barcelona. And I want to contact a cruise consultant, 539-0094 or 203-818-3174. And she will give you all the information about getting on the cruise. And we are doing that cruise to help us raise some funds so we can have enough money to launch the breakfast feeding program the beginning of the next school year, and also to start on the TIRA project. So we are calling on you, and we are looking for your support. So I am so excited about my guests. My guests I met when I went to the AFES event in the Dominican Republic. You all know I've met some phenomenal people there, people who are doing amazing, amazing work. But the amazing thing about this phenomenal woman, she lives right here in Connecticut. So it was just so refreshing for me going, you know, right across the world in another country to meet somebody who was right here from my home state. So it was an honor to meet her, and much more an honor as I learn more about what she is doing. So without any further delay, I want to welcome guest 2451 to the chat. And for those of you who are out there, you are welcome to call in at any time. The number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And for those who are in the chat room, you are welcome to type your question, or you may call the phone as well. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And now, without any further delay, I want to welcome my honored guest, Emily. I'm not sure, Emily, if I'm mispronouncing your name, but it's Filoramo.
Yes, it is. Just the way it's spelled out.
Thank you so very much. And I am so honored that you took time out of your busy schedule today, because I know Sundays for everybody is family time. So I honestly do not take it lightly when a guest takes some time from their family to invest in the things that I believe in. So welcome, and it's an honor to be sharing the next 90 minutes with you. I just look forward to hearing all about your story, as my listeners are receiving as well. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, Daphne. It was such a pleasure to meet you down in the Dominican Republic, and I'm excited to be sharing my story and inspiring others to reach for their greatness and
yes,
to really unleash
you.
All of them.
Yes, you know, Emily, I tell you, when I meet women like you, it encourages me because women walk with a lot of baggage and shame, and they don't want to talk about what happens to them. So when I see women like yourself, and I know men do that with ease and comfort, but when I see women who takes the mic and stand and speak proudly in order to empower and encourage others, I applaud them. So I want to honor and applaud you this evening.
Thank you, Daphne. I want to start
and ask you to just share about you prior to getting to this dark place. I want you to share a little with my listeners about who you are in the early beginnings of Emily the Princess. Let's talk about her a little bit.
Okay. Well, you know, when most people meet me and they've never met me before, they usually have the reaction of, oh, she looks like she's got her S-H-I-T together or act together. Her life looks perfect. Well, it wasn't always that way. There's so many of us, me included, that are or were living with a mask on, telling everybody that everything is great, I got it handled, and just not really sharing our vulnerabilities because we're thinking we're alone. Am I the only one with this deep, dark story? I can't bring up my past. I'm so ashamed. So I'll just take you back briefly my story. I grew up in Taiwan until the age of 9, and then we ended up moving here to the United States when my father's job got transferred here to L.A. So we lived in L.A. for 3 years, and then we moved over to New York. And so before I became a teenager, you know, before junior high school years, things were okay. You know, granted, I had to come here and learn English and learn the cultural ways. But it wasn't until we moved to New York when I was in junior high school that things got really, really bad. You know, the tension in the house got it just kept getting worse and worse. You know, my parents weren't so nice to each other, and I was the oldest of 4 kids. And you know how kids pick up on everything, even though parents try to hide it. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no hiding tension because I was defending. Every time there was a fight, I was defending my mom. And as a kid, that's just not our job. And that is really the root of my trauma, is just remembering when people ask me, well, what's the feeling that you get from your childhood? And all I can think about is, ugh. Don't bring me back there, because it was just, you know how when people are just don't feel good about themselves and they're just at each other, it just, the energy of the house is just really low. You feel like you're walking on eggshells, and you're wondering, okay, mom or dad, you know, okay, is this going to be a peaceful night? Are they going to yell at each other? Because I don't want to hear it. I'm a kid. Why was I born? Why am I here? How come I don't feel love? Because all kids want is to feel love. And when there's tension in the house, it's impossible for us to not blame ourselves. Like, what did we do to cause all of this? And why is it that they can't afford to give us what they want? I mean, what we want.
I want to interject here a minute. This is something powerful that you have said. I remember sometimes back I was doing an intake with a client. And the client was in a relationship. It was really not a typical relationship. They were married. They were a married couple, and they have children. However, very early in the marriage, they realized it was a mistake. However, they went ahead, and they had two children, okay? So after the second child was born, the mother moved out of the marital bedroom to live with in one of the child's room. So when she eventually built the courage to file even before she filed for the divorce to move out, the children were now in their 20s. So you know how many years she lived in that bedroom with that child, from toddler till the child moved out, went to college and all of that.
Wow.
And then she eventually met someone that she wanted to start a relationship with. And all of a sudden now, she's going to be the good mother and to tell the children. And it came to my mind now when you said the parents try to hide things from the children, because parents oftentimes underestimate the intelligence of their children.
Yeah.
And the children looked her direct in her eyes and said, "We were wondering what took you so long. Do you really think we did not know?" And I said to her, I said, "Very interesting statement." I said to her,
and what did they say?
So, you know, we need to just be upfront, because we are not hiding from our children. We are hiding from our truth. And
yeah.
And we need to step up and own our truth, whatever it is, and put all the shame and ego behind and just own up to it. So that's a very important point that you brought up, because kids don't ask for these things. And unless we can tell them, this is what is going on, this is not what we had planned on, however, we are going to take responsibility for it. And what are we doing when we do that? We've given the tools to go out there and to be better adults and to be able to resolve their issues when it turn up for them. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, and since you brought up that point about children, so this is the other point I want to make. So I'm not finished with the rest of my story yet. So here's a point that I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Even though many of us have parents that have hurt us, what we have to realize is most of us are victims of victims.
Exactly. Exactly. That is powerful. They work with what they have. They work with what they know.
Yes. And even though we have become a victim, we could stop. We could stop passing this on to our kids.
Exactly.
Parents fight with each other and there's tension in the house because they are wounded from their past. And
that's
so
right.
Instead of, they don't have their compassionate, loving, high spiritual energy when they
mm-hmm.
interact with each other or with the children, because they're
mm-hmm.
acting from their wounded parts. They
exactly.
have been hurt in the past. And so these extreme parts with extreme negative feelings and beliefs and emotions
mm-hmm.
Are going at it at one another.
Exactly.
And like you said, the best thing, because as a kid, we think, because our brains are like sponges and we're in a hypnotic
mm-hmm.
state, we
mm-hmm.
believe, we take on the belief that we are the burden, we are the reason
yeah.
why that they're fighting. And the best thing parents can do is to reassure their kids while they're young.
And let them know it's nothing to
yeah.
do with them.
Mm-hmm. Nothing
That's
to
right.
do with you. You are great. You are lovable. You are worthy.
We both.
I know you.
We both
yes.
love you. And parents
yes.
need not to badmouth each other too, because regardless of what's happening in your lives, I remember one of the things I said to my son, because I am a peer, I am a divorcee. I said to my son, "I divorced your father as my husband. I did not divorce him as being your father." And I never ever tell him details of what happened between us, because he is his father. Unless
yes.
they decide that they don't want that relationship anymore, it's not going to be because of something that mommy says.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So thank you for that. Let's go back to you and move you to York.
Okay, so we were. So then what happened was, because there was just a lot of tension at home and a lot of misery, I wasn't
mm-hmm.
feeling the love at home. At school, I didn't feel love either, because
mm-hmm.
there wasn't very when we first moved to New York, it was in the middle of the school year in junior
mm-hmm.
high school. And just imagine a teenager trying to belong and
mm-hmm.
get going into a new junior high in the middle of a school year.
That's
and
right.
So who wanted a? Everybody already formed their cliques, and I was like one of the. You know what? You had cut out a moment there. I didn't quite exactly catch.
Bill of year and going along with cultural differences as well.
Yes. So I was one of the very few Asians in the school, so I was teased a lot, called all sorts of names, so there was a lot of prejudice, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to hide. So I mean, growing up, I was essentially a very depressed teenager. There was no place to turn for love. There was no love anywhere. I didn't belong anywhere. My parents didn't have money to buy the right clothes to fit in. Their parents didn't have money to put braces on my teeth. And it was just one bad injury after another. And I knew that the only way out of that misery was to go away to college and never come back. And that's essentially what I did. I went away to college. I went to Cornell and had a great experience. But I also, experienced prejudice there, too, with people calling me, the usual Asian slurs in the background I would hear at parties, especially like boys would say stuff to each other, and I would overhear it. And it just doesn't make you feel good. And so... all of those injuries and just not being accepted by the rich sorority girls, wanting to fit in. But, of course, I didn't look the part because I didn't have the designer fashions, just didn't carry myself in the right way because I didn't have any mentors that took me under their wings to show me this is what life is all about. My parents didn't know. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And they didn't.
And they were trying to give you the best of what they had, So.
Yes. Now I know. Now, I've gone through the process of forgiveness and compassion, but at the moment, for many, many years, that just was not possible. So I after college, I got a job with a pharmaceutical company, being a pharmaceutical rep, and I did very well in it. And so I moved 2 hours away from New York, thinking that it was far enough away so I don't have to deal with my family, and barely spoke with them for many, many, many years. And even my siblings, we didn't have any ill feelings towards one another, but we were just never encouraged to be close to one another.
Wow.
And so they were still all in New York, so I just basically left the house for good. And even when I got married, I eloped because I could not bear the thought of having a family around because it would be torture for me because it would be bringing back those memories. I swept everything under the rug just never really talked about it to any of my coworkers or anything. Then I got married, and then my husband, when I was 5 months pregnant, and I was 29 years old, my husband was 38, he had a massive heart attack.
Wow.
While I was pregnant, yeah. So talking about having your life turned upside down, it's like 29 years old.
Did he survive or he passed?
No, he survived. He survived, and he's still alive today.
Thank God. Yes.
Yes, but it was a nightmare for about 15 years because
For you, wake up, count your blessings.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. So all of these years that I had not kept close touch with my family, my sister-in-law, one of my brother's wives, just never really took a liking to me, and I never knew why. She would never, when we did have a family gathering, she seldom came. And then we realized a year ago, since I launched my business and revealed my story of my painful story, she reached out and she says, "I never knew."
Wow.
I thought you
that something.
She
just judged you based on what she thought.
Yes, she just thought that I was a stuck-up bitch.
Wow.
Because I look like I had it all together, and I'm living
in a nice suburb.
In Connecticut, and now she, you know, Emily can't associate with us, and like she had no idea. All the times that my husband over the course of 10 years had 2 angioplasties and a quadruple bypass surgery.
My Lord.
In between all those procedures were many, many, many trips to the emergency room in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you think that I would call my family about that? No, they had no idea what was going on. I didn't even tell them. The only reason they knew that he had a second angioplasty was because my sister, we were preparing to go to my sister's wedding. And Friday night, I get a call from my husband. I'm in a hospital in Maine with chest pains.
Wow.
Like, okay, I guess I'm not going to my sister's wedding tomorrow.
My Lord.
And yeah, and they thought that, you know, what is she, so stuck up that she doesn't want to be her sister?
It was just an excuse, they thought.
Yes, well, or I never accepted my sister's request to be a maid of honor, because I said, it's a lot of work to be a maid of honor, but she had no idea the turmoil I was going through at home.
You was going through, my God.
I hit it all. It's like my family does not need to know this. Okay, if he drops dead tomorrow, he'll hear about it. But anything else?
Wow.
You know, even the quadruple bypass surgery, whatever, they didn't hear about it till afterwards, or till like months later. My thinking was, well, what's the point? I just didn't feel that closeness. Again, it was like bringing back those memories.
Yes.
So that's what happened with my husband's illness. And then in my 40s.
Let me just interject here, because I want to encourage the listeners. And I want for people to really go back over this episode and really listen to it over and over and over and over again. Because in our lives, for us to heal, we got to be receptive and we got to be open and allow others to help us to heal. No matter what, there is nothing that you could have done or that is too bad for family. Family is family, you know? And you have to allow our family in. So we are sharing these stories on here to let you know that you don't have to do things that we did or go through it alone. We are making this platform available for you so you can know that you can mend fences, so don't go through things alone. So go, you now, you're talking about you're in your 40s.
Okay, so in my 40s, which is about 8 years ago, I'm 51 right now, I ended up going into a, you know how sometimes you just like toss and turn in your sleep and you have no idea why?
Yeah, we think it's menopause.
It's our past coming to haunt us with hot flashes. Well, you know, it's interesting. I actually cured someone's hot flashes overnight. She had been having these hourly hot flashes for the last 18 months with sleepless nights. And then I helped her to unburden her past of her most devaluing experiences,
yes,
and that was the first night she has slept like a baby in 18 months because we got rid of the negative energy of what was causing her health problems. But to talk about the so a situation at something happened at work.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go into the details because I'm legally not allowed to go into the details. It's a juicy story, but I can't tell. I can't share it.
That rocky world and down.
Okay, you're breaking up now, Daphne. I can't hear what you're saying.
I am saying something happened that rocked your world and turned you upside down, which was very, very devastating.
Yes, because sooner or later, most of us are going to get hit by a 2x4. We don't know what that 2x4. And that 2x4.
It was just a minute. Go ahead.
Uh-oh, I'm having trouble hearing you again.
I am from the blind side. You get hit by the 2x4 from a blind side.
Yes. We get hit by the 2x4, either a mental illness or physical illness, because we just don't know how bad we are until we get hit by the 2x4.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was hit by this 2x4, not knowing that I was digging myself into a hole with this. I didn't even realize I was going into a depression because I was just so anxiety-ridden over this situation, and I kept thinking, I kept ruminating about why is this person saying this to me? Why? How come I can't stand up for myself? Blah, 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 blah. And then I ended up with panic attacks where I couldn't even go to work. I didn't sleep for a whole year. I was popping sleeping pills and Xanaxes. I was a drug addict, quote, unquote.
Wow.
I was desperate. And finally, those panic attacks put me into, I had to take a mental disability from work. And I had to go to a psychiatrist, and she diagnosed me with depression and PTSD and anxiety. And she said, so this is the one beautiful thing she said to me that kind of flipped the switch.
Mm-hmm.
She said, what trauma are you reliving from the past through this situation?
That
I said, what are you talking about?
That is powerful. Emily,
yes.
I want you to
here.
take a sip of water, and we are going to come back and have you pick up there because I need to take a commercial break.
Okay.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell-Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
And I want to invite back right here on Wednesday morning when we're going to have a guest all the way from Panama City, Panama. We are going to be talking about investing with knowledge and insight. So you don't want to miss that. You know, this is the year of abundance, and we can only get the abundance if we know what we're supposed to be doing. So remember, 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning is when we are going to have that conversation. And remember, you can call 469-958-8166 to be part of this conversation. Okay, so back to you, Emily. You went to this therapist, and she helped you to flip this switch. She gave you an aha moment, huh?
An aha. I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean reliving? I mean, it's this person's fault that I'm in depression.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, you're reliving something. And, you know, who would have known? So that's another lesson for your listeners is whenever somebody triggers you, it is not about them. And let's say,
that's,
you know, a situation on the outside. It's always a reflection of one of your deepest pains from your past.
That's in that mirror, it's that mirror. They're only a mirror, only a reflection of you. That's right.
Yes, exactly. And so then the light bulb went off in my head. Like, oh my gosh, I am reliving the trauma, the biggest trauma of my childhood, just witnessing my father not being so nice to my mother, and this person was representing for me a person who was similar in personality to my father, and I was playing the role of my helpless mother, not being able to speak up for myself. And so then the psychiatrist says, you know what, I could do something called eye movement rapid desensitization, which is a technique to release trauma, EMDR. But she says, you know what, it's going to be faster if you go to the hypnotist. And I said, what are you talking about? I'm going to a hypnotist to kind of help me with my depression?
That's not for me. That's what you're thinking. Yeah.
Right, we're thinking of all the magicians and all the cuckoos on stage with the hypnotist.
That's all the other folks.
Yeah, what has that got to do with depression? And, of course, when we are in all of these pains that we're suffering, when we're in the middle of it, we see no way out. We feel like I can't live like this anymore. I don't know how to get out of here. This is so painful. So when I went to the hypnotist, I mean, I had no idea what to expect. She just like kind of put me under, and I had like 3 or 4 sessions. And what actually happened was she zeroed in on the source of my trauma. She zeroed in on the negative core beliefs that I had about myself that I did not even know I had.
That's right.
Because a lot of us don't even know. What do you mean? Yes, some of us consciously know, I'm not worthy, I'm not enough.
Yeah, and in denial, you know?
Yes, we're in denial. And so we ended up, so the origins of me feeling not worthy, not lovable, not beautiful, it was a prenatal trauma. I know it sounds weird, but back into a state of me, the fetus, I think you could only do this under hypnosis. The energy that I felt from my mother, and this is a picture that I see in my head of her 8 months pregnant with me, the energy that I felt was that she was praying for sons. Because in Asian society, sons are more valued than daughters.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that thing in your culture. So that stigma you came in this world with, that subconscious stigma.
Yes, exactly. And so she was pressured by my grandmother to keep having producing sons, keep getting pregnant until she produced sons.
And wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I still remember some conversation where my grandmother said to my mother, "You got to eat more green vegetables. That's what's going to produce a boy." I still remember that to this day. I it's so bizarre.
Can you imagine a child hearing that?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
And I knew that because my grandmother lived with us when we were in Taiwan, so I knew the conversations that were going on. I vaguely remember, so, you know, the whole point. Kids pick up on everything. And so So those were the original negative core beliefs that I'm not lovable, I'm not beautiful, I'm not whatever. And that's why I walked around with a...
I'm not bored, you know. Wow.
Yeah. And so those were the things that I had buried. And how did that show up in my life? That showed up, the original pains really, it created parts within me, those parts of me that were traumatized, that didn't want to go into the pain again, pain of rejection and humiliation and feeling poor and not feeling like I belong. Well, what did I do? I shopped too much and just spent money like on whatever I wanted, thinking, wow, this will really show the chorus of rich girls that I made it now.
That's amazing, you know? And that is so powerful, because I know that there are so many people out there that's nodding their heads right now and say, oh, she's telling my story. She's telling my story. Even men too, because this not only happened to women, you know. So there are several people out there that's saying, oh, that's my story. That is my story that's being told. So you went to the psychiatrist, you went to the hypnosis, and all of a sudden you realize that you had to make the decision to take action. Can you recall that day when you say you cannot keep going around any longer with all of this? You must take action. Can you get us back to that day?
Okay. Now, it was the healing started after the hypnosis. You know, eventually mm-hmm. I got off my antidepressants, and 3 months later I went back to work. I was much more mentally healthy because here's the here is how I got healed. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily, it's not through medicine. And mm-hmm. it's weird how me going through that depression journey is mm-hmm. the exact speed of where my business is now. I had no idea how that was connected, and now I understand I was supposed to go through everything, every single pain, because it's through the pains of our journey that the seeds of our soul's purpose is
born. Let's learn. You know, Emily, it's interesting that we're having this conversation, because I said to a gentleman the other day, a lot of our life calling and purpose is not necessarily that which we were trained to do.
Exactly.
I said it's not necessarily that which you hold a degree or a certificate in. However, it has a lot to do with the journey that you have traveled. So I said, you know, you need to take the time and dissect that journey and learn from the experiences. And I said, when you do that, you're going to find out that which you choose to do is very rewarding, because it helps you to help others heal. And it's a glorious feeling. It's a glorious place to be, you know?
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So let's continue. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Okay. So Steve Jobs famously said during the Stanford commencement address that you could connect the dots of your life looking backwards, and it's up to you to make sense of how the universe has conspired to give you negative experiences in the evolution of your soul. And so for a lot of us, we don't even know what our soul's calling is until midlife, until in our 40s and 50s. There's very few people that actually know in their 20s and 30s what they were born to do. Because Les Brown famously said, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born, and secondly, the day you discovered why you were born.
You were born, exactly.
So the message here is also, be patient, especially for the younger people in our audience who are still wondering, I like this job, I'm good at this job, but I don't love it.
That's right.
And
learn
what you
can while you're there.
Yes, learn what you can. Just eventually,
the season will end there and you just move into the next phase of training.
Exactly. And even with anyone's entrepreneurial journey, even when you first launch, you don't even know if that's exactly where you're going to land, but you just have to jump. Get the courage to jump.
Exactly. That's right. And then that
will eventually bring you to where you're supposed to be. So let me just finish the story with the hypnotist. I just wanted to share with the audience the key to healing. The key to healing is to talk to the wounded parts of you that you don't even know you have, that are holding you back from your health, your wealth, and your happiness. You do have to uncover what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You have to address those wounded parts of you that never got the love, the reassurances that they needed at the time of the original injury. So I was able to reparent my prenatal self, and we also accessed a couple of other earlier memories that were pretty painful, and I, as the highest loving core self of today, we all have the capacity to quote unquote reparent our younger parts, and give it the love and the kisses, and form new memories in your mind that you are lovable. It's not your fault this happened. They did, you know, they wanted you, but it was just a cultural burden that you were holding. Because
that's right.
Having the importance of sons is actually called a legacy burden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a burden that the parents carried. They passed it on to me. So I was able to give back that burden to my parents and to their parents. And to believe that I am lovable and worthy.
And also, you're going to find out that this is not going to be a comfortable journey. You just have to experience the pain and everything. I know that at the end of that pain, you're going to be seeing a rainbow. Because to the end, it's all going to be worth it. And that's what helps you to craft your story in order to help others to tell their own story. Only have you healed all this journey that you have gone, all of this experience has prepared you to now help others to themselves.
You did cut out a little bit, so I'm not sure exactly what you said.
Okay, I said all of what we go through, the entire experience, although it is oftentimes painful, we got to work with all aspects of it, knowing at the end of that all, there will be rainbow at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, and it is up to you to find out what that rainbow is.
Exactly.
Because every negative experience is happening on purpose. Even the most tragic ones. I mean, think of all the stories that have been on Oprah of people losing their whole family in a fire or a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a choice. Either you could keep living in that memory, because if you keep living in that negativity, you are only hurting yourself. You're going to manifest diseases like you wouldn't believe. And do you really want to live in that story for the rest of your life? You got to make peace with it.
You know, you brought up my good friend Les Brown, and he has another story about a man that got fired. And for about 12 years, everywhere the man would go and anybody would listen, he would keep talking about how they fired him from that job. And when somebody would ask him, oh, when was that? Because each time he spoke of it, he would speak with so much passion about it. And when they asked him, when was that? He said, 12 years ago. So,
oh my God.
He's holding
on. Be like, oh, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And this is why platforms and forums like these is so important, because it is helping people to shorten their learning curve so that they move along. If they listen. Go ahead.
I mean, I wish I knew that these forums were available for me to seek help. You know, way back 10 years ago, the internet wasn't as popular, and we didn't have all these free coaching information on the web to explain all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, nobody around me was able to explain it all, and they were like, oh, you know, you'll get over it. You know, it wasn't giving me much encouragement. So I actually needed somebody like me.
Yeah, family business.
Pardon me?
I said, oh, you don't go out, you don't tell family business. That's family story. You keep it in the family. Don't tell it. And those things have changed now, you know? Those things have changed. So, Emily.
Go ahead.
I have a question, but go ahead.
And then I was going to say, and then what happened was, you know, I recovered from my depression, and then everything was going hunky-dory until I was 49 years old 2 years ago, and then my financial security got pulled out from under me, because after spending 27 years with a drug company, they laid me off.
Before, because that's going to be the next thing I wanted to talk about, when you think you're secure and everything. But for those who are listening and think that their experience or their trauma or their tunnel is way darker than yours could have ever been. How do they start? If you would give them a little checklist to start with to guide them, what would this checklist look like? How do they start to get out of this tunnel?
One of the things they do, if they are in a tunnel and they're really, quote unquote, in misery and very depressed, the
mm-hmm.
best thing they could do is to seek some psychotherapy help. Because
mm-hmm.
you cannot move forward until you look backwards, until you understand
right.
how you got yourself to this place
mm-hmm.
in the first place. So that's
mm-hmm.
why I had to go and do the psychiatrist thing and
mm-hmm.
understand myself. And
mm-hmm.
and ultimately, you know, sometimes after, I know there are some people that go through a lot of self-help programs and they've been through therapy for many, many, many years, but and they know what the issues are. They're mentally healthy, but for some reason, their mind and their body, they're still holding on to the residual ick from the past. And that's when the next step of seeking, I mean, the work that I do is to help people to get rid of that residual ick through talking to their younger parts of themselves. It's just a very powerful process.
Mm-hmm.
That is
mm-hmm.
that changes people's lives so quickly, and it just the shift, the dark cloud lifts, and it
mm-hmm.
just is so interesting that the process I use now, I don't put people under hypnosis. It's basically what I had gone through myself under hypnosis,
mm-hmm.
but this is done,
mm-hmm.
you know, without without the need for that, and
you
and
know
so because
mm-hmm. as I listen to you. I think one of the main things that people need to do after they know what their dark place is to own it, because what is still holding a lot of people back, and even those that have gone to therapy for many long years and spent thousands of dollars, they are still faced with the issues because they are not owning what it is.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how often you go and sit in that comfortable couch with the soft pillow. If you don't own the issue, I want for them to put on their list that they have to own whatever it is in order to start the healing process. It doesn't matter where you're going to go. You got to do your
yeah.
work. You got to own it. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, psychotherapy doesn't really, because it's not geared towards moving forward. It's all about moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to go to psychotherapy for so they understand themselves, you know, get mentally stable. And then when after, well,
sorry.
With that, you're breaking up again. Oh,
I haven't done anything. I haven't moved my position. I said.
I know.
I said. People got to start to peel the onion bulb back, and we all know what happens when we peel onion without having running water. It's a cleansing process because the eyes get teary. And it's the same thing when we are working through this process. It's like peeling the onion bulb back that helps us to get to the core of what we are going through.
Yeah, yeah, and I found that especially the people that I work with that have gone through therapy, when we go and address, so I'm going to give your listeners a tip on how to move forward like today, if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So the advantage of going through therapy first is you end up identifying all of the major, quote-unquote, issues that have kept you stuck, because those are the negative energies that keep you stuck in your life and unhappy. And once you understand that, and then let's say you come to someone like me to say, well, now what do I do with this information? How do I propel myself to the next level? Because I know I want to be really happy, and I want to unleash my full potential. I know I'm capable of more, but I want to get unstuck. And in order for you to get unstuck, you have to go and believe in yourself. because there's just so much self-loathing and low self-esteem in this society because of all of the negative messages that we've gotten from our caregivers and teachers and bullies that we don't even know that is living in our subconscious, eating us away, keeping us awake at night, having us sleepwalk through life, pretending that everything is great. And in the meantime, we're shopping.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
It's like a walking dead.
Yes, it is the walking dead. And we're shopping away, drinking too much, gambling too much, addicted to porn, going around in circles, exercising too much, and anything that's just like too much to try to bury the pain. Because your psyche is saying, don't you dare ever go into that feeling of humiliation and rejection again. It's just too painful. So anything that reminds us currently of any of that pain, for some of us, it's emotional eating. I know I shouldn't be eating this, but part of me is just wants to keep eating. Or I know I shouldn't, I get so nervous when I go to a party, so I got to drink before I go to the party to chill me out. So that's also a wounded part that's living in your psyche that is just nervous about meeting people. So those are the things that we have to identify what's holding you back. So one of the first steps that people could really understand is check in with your body, and when you think about your past, who is the person that gave you the most negative charge? And it doesn't even have to be your mother or father. It could be a boyfriend. You know, there's people that I work with that have perfect childhoods, but they're still stuck because there was the bully or the old boyfriend or girlfriend that hurt them that still lives in their head thinking that they're not worthy of love or worthy of success or whatever it is that the negative stuff that this person told them. So the first step is really to identify a person and a feeling that is holding you back from feeling really awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you really have to you have to step into the shoes of that other person and really understand where that person is coming from. Because until you step into their shoes and really feel who they are, you have no idea what kind of pains they're going through. I had one client where she stepped into the shoes of her old emotionally abusive boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And when I asked her, as Dave, what are you feeling? What's important to you? What do you want to tell Jane? And she's like, whoa, this is like, wow, oh my gosh. You know, she's saying, oh, as Dave, I didn't feel good about myself. I was just trying to be like a man because my father abused me or nobody ever helped me feel good. I grew up on the streets. I was the poorest kid on the block. And I'm feeling so low about myself that all I knew how to do was to abuse you so I could feel better, so I could put myself on a pedestal to think that I'm a man or whatever it is. Because most of the time we don't go into the shoes of the other person that has hurt us. And when you can really go into the shoes of the other person, and you'll feel the emotions.
Yeah, and it's frightening. Come up. It's a frightening moment. It's a frightening moment. So it takes courage to go there.
Yes. You can do it on your own. And it takes courage to get there. And you have to kind of step back and forth in between the shoes of yourself and this other person. And then you also have to step into a neutral
That's
spot.
Right. That's right.
Like pretending you're Oprah watching these two people. Mm-hmm. And from that spot, you could see what is really going on between these two people and what needs to happen moving forward. And that's where all the forgiveness and compassion happens, for letting it go. Mm-hmm. And so that's...
forgiveness. We know. Forgiveness is hard to do. You got to break yourself. It's like you cement your legs down when it comes to the part of forgiveness, because a lot of times people really don't want to forgive. They'll do everything else, but Lord, oh Lord, I can't forgive. But you got to get there. You got to do that.
Yes, and you do have to have, you end up having compassion for the other person. And just like when we were in the Dominican Republic, we had that exercise the very last day, the whispers exercise, where other people whispered into our ears the one thing they wanted to hear growing up that they didn't get. And then, of course,
that's
most
right.
of us were bawling by the time we heard those things. Those were the things
like,
that we needed to hear.
Exactly. It was like the ocean. And that, you know, that is such a powerful thing that shows people and affirm that you are not alone. You are not alone. I want to remind callers, we only have 29 minutes remaining in this episode. Please call in. The number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. So, I want, Emily, I want you to go into that devastating experience of losing your job of 27 years. Let's talk about that for you.
Oh, that was not pretty. You're talking about, oh, you know, I'm going to retire in a couple of years, and then, phew, they just pulled all the money out from under me. And, of course, it's like, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? Why me? And how do I replace all of this good income? And so a friend of mine, after like a month of being laid off, he pulls me into his office, and he's like, you know, Emily, you should really launch your own business. I said, what? What are you talking about? Never even crossed my mind. He said, well, you've always been an expert in nutrition. Why don't you do that? I said, well, yeah, well, okay. All right, so that's how I – so I tried to interview for another job, but nobody was taking me. You know, I was 50 years old. It's like, and these managers were 35, and they're like, why do I want to hire my mother, you know? You know, and she's just ready for retirement. She's not ready to go up the corporate ladder. So I said, okay. After I didn't get the last job I was hoping for, so then it's the universe's way of telling me you got to go after this business.
Don't you like
and,
the universe? It pushes you in the butt. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. I had no. I mean, I knew launching a business was going to be hard. But I had no idea it was going to be a 24/7 job, which has basically – it's not a job. It's a calling. And I've been working literally every day for the last 2 years nonstop. And thank goodness I'm an empty nester, and my husband's pretty busy in his work. So it allows me the time to spend in my business. So I launched
a nutritionist. You need to learn to delegate, though.
Yeah, well, most of the stuff that I have to do now is just, I cannot delegate. It's a lot of the writing and the infrastructure, the technical infrastructure has been built. And, you know, which I built myself and learned everything because I wanted it to so that when I do hire out, I know the language. I just don't want to be, I know
so
when people are.
It's by choice that you're doing you're doing it all by yourself. It's not that it has to be done that way. You just choose to do it that way.
I just choose to do it that way because it's just the way I operate, and I have the mental bandwidth to do it myself. So I have a web designer that helps me with putting up a website and stuff and making my banners and stuff, but that's really about all that I needed. But everything else is all about writing. I had no idea being an entrepreneur. The number one, the top thing in your job description is writing.
I was reading a post you put the other day and I was laughing when you said if anybody knew that as an entrepreneur you have to write so much.
I'm not sure I would have launched. I've written more in the last 2 years than I have in the last 40. I realized that I could do it. So when you get laid off or when bad things happen to you, you have no idea what you're capable of until you're forced to do it.
Yeah,
and when you're forced to do it.
When you spoke about you got to jump, you got to take the leap, even when you don't know where you're going to land.
Exactly. And you have to take the leap because you have to believe in yourself. And in order to believe in yourself, because I've done my work of unloading my shit from the past, unloading it out of my body, and me believing in myself that I am great, I am worthy, I am going to be successful. So many people don't have that belief with themselves, and that's why they get stuck. So my message is, it is possible for every one of us to get to that state of being unstoppable. And that is, you have to get to the source of your negative core beliefs that were formed earlier. Because when you get over those messages, the stuff your mother said to you, the stuff your father said to you, the stuff that the bully said to you, when we go back, when we go and you talk to those younger parts that were hurt and give them all the love that they needed that they never got, then you're going to be able to have the courage and the confidence to jump. Because it's when you jump into the unknown that the law of attraction starts to work in your favor. And the law of attraction gives you the people and the opportunities that you need to take stuff to the next level. Mm-hmm. And so as I launched my nutrition brand, I knew it wasn't where I was going to stay, because even though I'm a nutritionist, I just knew if I had to tell people how to eat broccoli for the rest of my life, you might as well shoot me. Mm-hmm. But I knew I just had to keep going and going, investing in mentors and masterminds and just kept meeting new people and going to networking meetings in New York City and just participating, you know, stuff like Awesomeness Fest and just going there and just talking to different people. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you a question here. Mm-hmm. If you could choose the top 10 keys or steps that help you to emerge from your darkest tunnel of despair, what would those 10 key tips be?
Let's see. You have to believe that you are going to emerge. And if you're in that dark tunnel right now, I would encourage you to read everything that you can on the internet about how other people have emerged from their dark tunnel. Mm-hmm. 'Cause when you hear other people's story, then you'll be inspired by, what step did they take? And how do they get out of there? You know, Oprah's got her own dark story, but sometimes, you know, Oprah's story, because she's so successful, it's almost, at times it's like, well, that's just like one in a million. Mm-hmm. But something like Oprah can happen to all of us. She mm-hmm. just followed her soul's calling. Mm-hmm. And we're not all going to be television stars. And think mm-hmm. most of us, that's not our journey. So just use her story as an inspiration to say, okay, the first step is awareness. First step mm-hmm. to changing anything is awareness. So to get that awareness, you've got to go on the internet and just go on the forums where people are suffering. Go on blogs like Tiny Buddha or Finer Minds. And there's so many popular personal development blogs that talk about all of this stuff and people mm-hmm. writing their stories. So awareness mm-hmm. and inspiration from others' stories. And then another step is you might need to go to psychotherapy to really get out of your trauma of your despair. Mm-hmm. And to understand maybe you need some medications to get you over the edge. And then decide, what is the meaning behind all of this? You may have to go back to work and do what you need to do, but just trust that if you start to put one foot in front of the other and do something that is out of your comfort zone, you have to go outside of your comfort zone. If you keep talking to the same people, if you keep going to the same parties, if you keep having dinner with the same people, and if you never step into a networking meeting or something new that you've never done before, well, guess what? Your life is not going to change.
Same result. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people have this fear of a new situation. Oh, I don't know anybody there. Oh, I hate it when I go into a group. I don't know what to say. Well, if that's the case and you feel a little anxious, another step is read the classic book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Mm-hmm. That is going to be your biggest nuggets of gold in that book, because it's going to teach you how to interact with just about any stranger that you meet, because mm-hmm. it's never about you. They're not, people are not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. So the mm-hmm. best thing you could do is learn how to ask questions. Show mm-hmm. interest in them. That's where you're going to make new friendships. Because if you help the other people out get what they want, you're going to get what you want. So mm-hmm. so read the, be aware, read the inspirations, and try to make sense of why this is happening. And you've got to step outside of your comfort zone. And in order to step outside of your comfort zone, you have to believe in yourself. And in order to believe in yourself, you have to unload the old baggage. If you don't unload the old baggage, you could try consciously to do all of this stuff, but you're going to end up back where you started from. Mm-hmm. And with that, what I'm going to do is offer your
before,
audience.
Hold on, Emily, because we still have 19 minutes to go. And I want to ask you to summarize, but based on what I heard you say, I want to just list the 10 things I got out of what you said for the people who probably want to write it down. I just kind of summarize and grab from what you were saying. And the first I got out of the 10 top key points was to believe that you are going to emerge. And that goes to show that you got to take the responsibility and own it. You got to read about the story of others. And Emily used a very powerful woman, Oprah Winfrey. The thing she said, number three, you need to be aware, your awareness. You got to keep your antennas up and be aware of what's going on. You must keep yourself inspired. And there are lots of stories out there, she says, that can keep you inspired. So you have to invest the time to go on the computer to find about these stories, to find out that you are not alone. Psychotherapy, don't be ashamed, or hypnotherapy. Don't be ashamed to go into the therapy knowing that will help you to heal your despair. You also need to find out what's the meaning behind what you are experiencing. So again, she's encouraging you to step up to your experience. And the next thing, you have to get out of your comfort zone. So if you want to be comfortable, it's not going to happen. The next, number eight, she mentioned about embracing change. Change is important in anything that you do. Ask the right questions. And that's a powerful one. I just love that, because we end up not getting the right questions and we are not getting the right answers because we never ask the right question. And last but not least, I love number 10. You must unload the baggage. You must unload the baggage. So don't be leaving and picking it up again. Once you unload it, leave it and start to live the life that you deserve to live. So that was just my story at the point. And I just want to do them because we have people that come back and do the downloads. So I like to give it to them like in bullet points so they can record it to help them along the way.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And so unloading the baggage is just really, really important to get that negative energy out of there, because we have all had these bad experiences that created the negative energy, the dark, quote-unquote, dark cloud in the first place. And just mm-hmm. like I didn't know I was walking around with a dark cloud with my dark past and everything mm-hmm. that's been swept under the rug, mm-hmm. it came back to bite me in the butt. In the form mm-hmm. of depression, and then eventually the layoff, and right. it's all a matter of just remember, this is all part of the evolution, yes. evolution of right. your soul.
So what I want for you to do, Emily, and again, before I tell you that, I want to thank again to the listeners. Are you to arrive the listeners the key points you want them to take out of your presentation, and then after that I want you to tell them about the offer you are giving them and then tell them how to reach you.
Okay.
We have 15 minutes remaining.
Okay, well the key points are You're not alone. You are not alone. And even if there are any guys that listen to your show, you are not alone. There's a lot of men suffering silently. And it just pains me to hear a lot of these stories. And what I want to share with you is stories that I've heard, all the people that I work with, because they share everything with me, because they've read my story, and they realize that we are all the same. So there's no shame in sharing the story. And the more we could be vulnerable with each other and support one another and say, tell me your story, that's what's going to help you to feel like you are not alone. And when you are heard, it's that's part of the healing process. And so just remember that we are all meant to be going through some pains. It's not the human experience if we don't experience any emotional pains. We are not supposed to be happy like without. I mean, we could be happy for no reason. It's possible to get to that state, but not until we understand ourselves backwards. And so just remember that there's just a lot of people pretending that they're happy, but they're really not, and they're just asking you to help them to, like, get themselves out by being vulnerable yourself so you could share each other's stories.
I see that as if they are not supposed to go through it for their happiness. But what I have found out from my personal experience is that those things is what helps me to build tolerance, patience, and fortitude. Because if you are living all hunky-dory and you never experience any of those challenges, you don't know what to do with things when they come before you. But you find out that it's like lifting weight. It builds your muscles. So the more you encounter these things, is the stronger you are at the end. So I don't think we need to dodge the bullet on those things. We need to step up and it's like, and say, come on, what's next? And just move on. So that's a great one, Emily. I like that.
Yeah, and then the other point I wanted to make is I was reading some article, I think it was in Psychology Today. They said that the number one difference, the key difference between happy people and less than happy people is that happy people take risks.
Mm-hmm.
Happy people go outside of their comfort zone. And I know from, and you probably have experienced this too, just from launching my business, being on my own in the last 2 years, jumping into the unknown, this has, and just being confident that I'm going to be caught on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
That, just jumping into the unknown, meeting all of these people in new situations, and just creating my business and all the creativity that has unleashed in me has brought me more joy than anything else I have ever experienced before. Because I've jumped. Because I'm taking risks. That's where happiness is. So just get out of your normal routine and do something different.
Because the thing is that once you trust the universe, you have to, when you're ready to jump, you just jump and take the leap, because you know there's always going to be a soft place to land, because the universe is faithful and always deliver. So it's never going to let us down. So we just need to do our part, you know?
Right. Because in all, I remember reading in Janet Atwood's book, The Passion Test, she says, the key to success and really monetizing on your mission and your passion is you have to know where you're going. Now, where you're going, it can change. Doesn't mean once you're set on a goal, you're stuck with it for the next 20 years. But at the moment that you set whatever vision it is for yourself, as long as you viscerally believe it in your body and your mind, as if you already have it and you could taste it, smell it, and feel it,
right,
and your body doesn't even know the difference if it's real or fake, or you're not there yet. When that happens, the hows of how you're going to get there, the universe is going to show you
just
the way.
Fall in place. It's like a puzzle. You know what we do? We always put the outer, we look for the outer pieces and we complete that frame. And every day we come, we look for a piece that fits in the middle and we put it on. And that's the same way our life goes. We must start. Just make that first step. Just make that first step. So, Emily, thank you so much. Tell them about your offer and tell them how to get in touch with you, please.
Okay, good, good. And I just want to add one little piece. Just take that first step. Just like you have to viscerally feel it. In order to really feel it, it goes back to unloading your baggage. Because if you don't unload your baggage controls 90% of the actions and the feelings that you have every day and the thoughts.
That's right.
And because it's in our subconscious. And so we have to update the programming, and we update the programming through unloading the baggage.
That's right.
So with that said, the gift that I have that is available through my website is 3 steps to instantly unload your baggage so you could be unstuck, be happy, and live to your potential.
And tell them what your website is.
Oh, it's successandjoynow.com. Successandjoynow.com. If you go to that website, you could just enter your name and email, and you'll get an instant download of the step-by-step process of how you can unload the baggage so you can move forward, get unstuck, get yourself unleashed, and become unstoppable and live to your potential. Because I think most of us want to be in that journey to self-actualization. And in that journey is where all of the happiness is.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I tell you, this was worth every minute of it. Emily, I want to thank you for coming on and for sharing your story. And I just want to encourage you because the journey has only just begun. The journey only just begun. And for those who are listening on the feed, don't know this. This is announced. You can download it and share it because this is a message that people need to hear. So we want to encourage you to download this episode, share it on Twitter, share it on your social media, other social media pages that you have. Just make sure everyone listens to this episode that is going to help them to turn their lives around. This is the year of abundance and everyone is looking to accumulate wealth. Well, wealth starts on the inside of us. Unless we can get rid of this baggage that is about to cause us to bankrupt, we will not be having any abundance that 2025 has for us. So be sure to share your segment. Emily, again, I want to thank you for coming on. And I know this is the first of many others. I look forward to having you again. And I just want to thank you for the work that you are doing and for being vulnerable in sharing your story.
Yes, yes. I just want to share it to let others know you're not alone.
That's right.
I looked like I had my stuff together, but I didn't. And
that's right.
And
it's
I just want to get...
Late.
Never too late. And I just want to give your listeners a last little benefit. When you unload your baggage, guess what? Your health and your weight issues will resolve.
That's right.
You will love yourself enough to want to take care of your body and eat right and exercise. It's not going to be a chore anymore.
That's right, because you know you're love yourself. You know, it's funny you say that. I just learned the other day, Emily, how to start to use Instagram. So every day, I have a lifestyle awakening. I'm working on a book, and I'm working on the way I eat and everything. So every day I create something new. I post a picture, and one lady wrote back. I don't know where she was from, but she wrote back and said, "Why would you want to brag about drinking something that looks like stomach content?" So I wrote and said, "Can you see how gorgeous and healthy I look?"
I know some people just don't make the connection that what you eat is.
It was so funny, and I was laughing after I said that, because I said, "Here I am, tweeted to my 30-something thousand people on Twitter. I didn't send a personal private message to her, you know." So, I mean, I said, "Why you pick it up?" But just like things like those can sometimes be damaging if we allow them to be, you know. So I just looked, I said, "It's not about me. It's really about her." But I just thought it was interesting. So, well, I hope we get to connect soon, my sister. Let's stay tuned and let's stay connected. And if there's anything I can do to enhance what you're doing, I'm only a phone call away.
Okay, great. Hey, maybe next time I could even come on and talk about, you know, the really the keys to health. Simpler than most people make it so complicated. You know, since I'm a nutritionist that was in the pharmaceutical industry, I kind of know the real truth.
If you say that, you can call me, because you are only up in Hartford. So if you want to drive down to Danbury to be on a TV show to talk about the keys to health, I would love that. So let's talk about it off the air. I have some taping coming up soon.
Oh, that's
but
great.
That would be amazing for my listeners, because things like that I can do on the TV show, and seeing that you are local.
Great.
Stay warm and be well.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Daphne, and I hope that that people have taken lessons away from sharing my story of being in the dark tunnel. You don't have to stay there. You have all the power to get out of there and make a new story that's going to get you to jump out of bed like lightning has struck it every day.
That's right. Well, stay warm, my sister, and I will be talking with you real soon. Namaste.
Okay, namaste, Daphne. You take care.
Okay. Will
do.
Bye-bye.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. Trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
gravity of spirit and say this.
Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight.